Great, so we're going to be thinking about that together. Are we friends with God? Are we enemies with God? We at Emmanuel at 4, we've been doing a little series where we're thinking about sort of Christian basics. And we've done this looking at a passage in Colossians. So I'm going to ask you if you turn in your Bibles to Colossians, and it's Colossians chapter 1. And I will give you a page number when I'm there. Page 1182. 1182. So page 1182, and I'm not going to read all of those verses that we've been looking at every week. I'm just going to read a few of them. So I'm going to read verses 21 to 23 of Colossians chapter 1. Okay. So page 1182 and Colossians 1, verses 21 to 23. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard, that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Let me just pray for us as we look at these verses together. Father, please would you teach us now and help us to understand our relationship with you. Help us to see what you have done for us. And help us, therefore, to see where we stand before you. Amen. I should have said at the beginning, we now have the new website, the Emmanuel website. The questions that you asked a few weeks ago that you jotted down and handed in, I've answered some of them on the blog site, on the website. So do have a look at that to see some of the answers, or some of the answers that I've given for some of those questions. And we will post more things on that blog site, so keep having a look at that. Okay, us and God, friends or enemies? This is really important to know, isn't it? We don't want to get this wrong. This kind of thing is something that you don't want to make a mistake over. You don't want to get to the end of your life, meet with your maker, and find, actually, you've made a mistake. You've got this wrong. It is really important we get this right. Yeah, it's important to know whether someone loves something or not. I was going to give you an example of a time when this went slightly wrong. So it was when Bev and I, we were just starting to go out, and I was going to visit Bev's parents, and they wanted to know what I like to eat and what I don't like to eat. And so I don't particularly like eating fish. In fact, I hate eating fish. There's one fish that I can pretty much put up with eating, and that's plaice. Well, the message got back to them, they kind of said, what does Bart like eating? And so somehow the message got back to them that I love eating plaice. And so, even though I can just put up with it. So I got there, and sure enough, they'd cooked plaice for dinner, and I ate it dutifully because I wanted to try and impress them. But after a while, you just have to say to them, actually, you know what? I don't really like this, but I kind of put up with it. You see, the message had got through that I love plaice, when actually I don't. It's important that we know, isn't it? It's even more important to know with God and us. Are we friends? Are we enemies? Okay, let's get into the verses. Verse 21 tells us, and here's our first point. We've got 2 points, and the first one is this, enemies. Verse 21. Just have a look at that verse. It says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. Okay, pretty clear in that verse, isn't it, to say once we were enemies. There are two words there that are really important, aren't there? Alienated and enemies. That's saying there is distance between us and God. We are not in a good relationship with God. Mankind is against God. And notice, it's our fault. It says, once you were alienated from God, enemies in your minds, because of your evil behavior. Paul is saying it is our fault. that there is that we are not right with God. And he's not saying that we are apathetic towards God, that we just, not that bothered. He is saying mankind is against God. We have become enemies with God. Now, that takes a little bit of explanation, doesn't it? Because lots of people will say, well, that's not me. I don't think I am an enemy of God. I may not worship God, I may not particularly go to church, but I'm not enemies with God. Just because I don't pay him any attention doesn't mean to say I'm against him. It'd be a bit like if you could imagine that there's someone living in Manchester. There must be a John Smith living in Manchester. And I don't know him. I'm probably never going to know him. I'm not going to know him in this life. And, I'm never going to meet him. But you wouldn't say, therefore, that I was his enemy. Well, people will say, well, that's true with me and God. I don't know God. I don't worship him. But I'm not his enemy. I'm not turned against him. I'm not, angry at him. And yet, the Bible tells us that actually we are enemies with God because we have ignored God. And we need to see this. A really helpful illustration, I think, is one of declaring independence. We've declared independence from God. Let's take the example of, let's say, Scotland decided that they would declare independence from the rest of Britain. What difference would it make? What actual difference would it make? Well, then all of a sudden, Scotland would be able to make up its own laws. They would be able to determine their laws. It wouldn't be determined by the British government. It wouldn't be determined by Westminster. It would be all determined by them. Now, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden they will reverse all the laws that there were. It doesn't mean to say that they'll suddenly say, oh, well, now it's legal to park on double yellow lines and murder's okay, and then make up a whole load more rules which are just completely the opposite. They wouldn't just suddenly make up a whole load like that. They would pretty much stick with a lot of the rules that there already were. But, and this is the important bit, they would stick with them not because Westminster said so, but because they said so. They would say, we'll stick with those laws because we want to. Well, it's a bit like that with us and God. We declare independence from God. We say, God, I don't want anything to do with you. I'm just going to ignore you. And therefore, we make up our own laws in our lives. We'll say, I'll live my life my way. We might not say of God, well, God, I'll go with the opposite of all your laws in the Bible. So we don't necessarily say all of a sudden, well, we'll go against all the Ten Commandments. All of a sudden, adultery's okay and stealing's all right and murder's okay. We don't say to God, I'm going to reverse all your laws. But we say, I will stick with the ones I like, not, God, because you say, but because I want them, because I like them. And I'll make up a whole load of my own as well. And actually, maybe there are some things that I'll do the opposite of what you say, God. But we wrap it up in nice language. So we'll say, envy, that's okay. Greed, that's kind of being ambitious. Lust, that's okay, that's more biology than morality. And so on and so on. And so we say, God, I'll stick with some of your laws, but because I say so, and I'll make up some of my own, and there are some of yours which, frankly, I'll do away with. But I'm basically okay, we say. Now, when it comes to Scotland, if Scotland declared independence, you'd kind of think, well, that's fair enough. Maybe you wouldn't. But you might think, well, that's fair enough. That's their country. That's their land. Maybe if they want to declare independence, if they wanted to dig a big channel and push the whole thing further away from the rest of Britain, then, they could do that. That's their country if they want to do it. But here's the thing. When it comes to us and God, we were made, as we looked at a few weeks ago, we were made by Jesus and for Jesus. Do you remember we looked at this verse? It says in Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." In other words, that verse is saying, do you remember we saw, because God made everything, God owns everything. Everything belongs to God. So if we then say, God, I'm going to declare independence from you, I will make up my own laws in my life, then that is becoming enemies with God, because we belong to God, because he made us. You see, you don't have to spit and snarl at God to be God's enemy. You just have to declare independence, which is what mankind has done. Or, to pick another illustration, imagine at school, pupils just decided to ignore everything that the head teacher said. All the rules that the head teacher made up, they just decided, let's just ignore all of them. We'll still be friendly, we'll still be nice to the head teacher, but we'll just ignore everything that he says. Well, that's not going to go on long, is it? The head teacher at some point is going to have to say, no, however nice you are, however friendly and kind and pleasant you are, you're still disobeying the rules, so I've still got to discipline you. You see, we don't necessarily spit and snarl at God, but just by declaring independence from God in his world, when we've been made by him, shows that we are alienated from God and enemies against him, and we deserve his punishment. We deserve God's anger. And if we stay like this, then we deserve and get an eternity in hell. That is what the Bible teaches. Jesus is very clear. He, of all the people in the Bible, he is the one who speaks the most about hell. And he says it is not a place we want to go to. It is a real place, and it is an eternal place, and it is a place of anger. See, if we stay alienated from God, enemies from God, that is what we deserve. But that's not where the verses leave us, which is great news. First point is enemies. Second point, reconciled. Jesus, the incomparable Jesus, he comes along and he reconciles us to God. Verse 22, have a look at verse 22. It says, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. There are various great turning points in the Bible. We looked at one in Ephesians in the morning a few weeks back, where there's another but God. This is another one. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body. So how does God reconcile us to himself? And notice, it is God who does this. We've alienated ourselves from God, but God says, I will reconcile you to myself. How does he do it? Verse 22, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death. That's how he reconciles us. Through Jesus dying for us. And what I want you to see, and we're going to turn now to a bit in Mark's gospel where we see Jesus dying on the cross, because I want you to see the reconciliation actually taking place as Jesus dies on the cross. It is wonderful to see. Would you turn to Mark chapter 15 with me? It's page 1023. And you will actually see this reconciliation taking place. Page 1023. And I'm going to read from chapter 15, verse 33. To verse 41. It says there, at the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah. One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now we're going to leave it there. So there is Jesus dying on the cross, and I want you to see It's kind of three. First is the darkness and the cry. Jesus is hanging on the cross. It is the middle of the day, because the way that they calculated their timing was that you start you know, first hour is dawn. So sixth hour, you're in the middle of the day when the sun should be at its brightest. And yet, as Jesus hangs on the cross, there is darkness there. The world is plunged into darkness. Why? Why is there darkness as Jesus dies on the cross? Well, we see in the Old Testament the reason for the darkness is darkness represents God's judgment, God's anger being poured out. So as Jesus dies on the cross, God's anger is being poured out. Now, we've already seen that because we're alienated from God, because we're enemies from God, it is us that deserve God's anger. And yet, as Jesus dies on the cross, who is it who gets God's anger? It is Jesus. And you see that with the cry. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, can you imagine what a horrific cry that must have been? Because Jesus, who, as the Bible says, for all eternity has been in a relationship of love with God, now finds himself on the cross facing God's anger, and he screams, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, that isn't Jesus crying out because he doesn't know. He's quoting from the Old Testament. But he is saying, God, you are against me now. And then, once Jesus dies, the text takes you across the city to the temple, to the curtain of the temple. Ah, now, you need to know the structure of the temple. Many of you will know this, but it's important. You see, the temple represented for the people of Israel God's presence among them. And yet it also kind of represented the fact that they couldn't get into God's presence. Because although you've got the temple there, the temple kind of said God's with you, but he also says you can't get in. Because at the entrance to the temple you had the altar. And on the altar, that's where sacrifices took place. And so anyone going into the temple, there would have to be sacrifices. The sacrifices took place every day. And as people went into the temple was sort of structured in sort of, it's not circles, but concentric rooms. So you could get in to a certain amount, but you weren't allowed in any further unless you were a priest, in which case you could go in a bit further. But right at the center, right at the heart of the temple, there is the Holy of Holies, that inner room, the very inner room, which was to represent God's presence with his people. But only one person was allowed in that room once a year, the high priest, who could go in. And he wore bells on him so that people could hear whether he was still walking around. And there was a rope attached to him. So if the bells stopped, they knew he'd died in the presence of God and they could drag him out. You see, that represented to say, actually, you cannot come in. Or at least you can't come in very easily. And in front of the Holy of Holies, there was the curtain. And the curtain said, you cannot come in. It was a big no entry sign. Now, as Jesus died on the cross, having cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? As he then died, he dies, and then across the city, in the temple, that curtain, it says, verse 38, is torn in two from top to bottom. In other words, this is God ripping that curtain open and saying, you can come in. We can have a relationship now. Now, do you see? That is the reconciliation taking place. Because before Jesus died on the cross, Jesus has a good relationship with God. We are enemies with God. As Jesus dies on the cross, it is as if God is saying, Jesus, you are my enemy. And the curtain is ripped open saying, now I can be friends with you. The reconciliation is taking place there and then. And you can see it happening. And because Jesus died on the cross, don't turn back to it, because it might take you a little while to find it again. It might take me a little while to find it again. But because Jesus died on the cross, verse 22 of Colossians 1 says, but now he's reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation. You see, because Jesus died on the cross, taking God's anger for us, we are free from accusation. We can come into God's presence. So you might think, sorry, enemies, reconciled. Those are our 2 points. So you might think, so what? What difference does this make? Well, there's bad news and good news there, isn't there? The bad news is we were enemies with God. Mankind is enemies with God. That's the bad news. Has that sunk in? Has that actually sunk in for you? The great danger that mankind is in, that you are in, if you haven't yet been reconciled with God. Lots don't see it. We live our lives, go through our lives, and get to the end. And the danger is that we come before God and we think everything's going to be okay, but actually God says, you know what? We're not okay. But the good news, reconciliation is possible. The good news is, if we receive Christ's death, Jesus isn't just incomparable, he's essential. With no Jesus, there is no reconciliation. But with Jesus, there is reconciliation. And we don't then live lives independent of God anymore. After all, if the whole idea of Jesus dying on the cross is so that we can come back into relationship with God, if we then say, well, you know what, thanks for that, I'll receive that, but frankly, I'm just going to live my life ignoring you, well, nothing's changed. We're still against God. So we need to live our lives not independently of God anymore. What does that mean? Well, you know what? You're going to have to come back next time to find out more, because next time we're going to think about what is the response that we need to make, and we need to get into that more. But Jesus did it so that we could have a relationship with God, so that we could know God. Let me just conclude by asking you a question, and it is this. Who goes to heaven? These verses say it is not good people who go to heaven. It's not good people who go to heaven, because basically what we mean when we say, oh, good people go to heaven, or if people say, I've basically been okay, I think I'm going to be all right, I'll get into heaven. What we really mean is, God, I've declared independence from you, I've made my whole list of my laws, and frankly, I think I'm doing all right by them. But that's not what these verses say. These verses say we've declared independence from God, we're enemies from God, and therefore those who go to heaven are those who are forgiven, those who've been reconciled to God, those who accept Jesus' death for them. Is that you? Have you accepted Jesus' death for you in your place? Like I say, come back next week and we'll think a bit more about the response that's needed. But you could always today, if you haven't yet done so, ask Jesus and say, Jesus, would you take my sin? Would you deal with my wrongdoing so that I can be friends with God? You could do that. Let me just lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cross of Jesus. Thank you that he died, that he cried out, that there was the darkness there, showing that he took your anger for us. And thank you that the curtain was ripped open so that we can be reconciled to you. Father, please help each one of us to receive Jesus' death for us. Amen.